truth. And your word says that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. So we declare freedom over every person in the room today, that we receive the truth freely, openly, Lord, even if the truth is not convenient for us. We thank you that we receive it because our freedom ultimately rests on our ability to accept your word as truth. So, Lord, as we open our hearts and minds to your word today, I thank you that you would give every person an ear to hear what not I, but what the Spirit would say today, Lord God, that you would speak revelation knowledge to the hearts of every person here, that they would hear from you, your voice clearly, know exactly what they need to do to apply this word to their life today. And we thank you that as we apply the word, we will stand on the promise of God until we see manifestation. And we thank you that when it manifests, we will boldly declare and tell the world and teach them everything that you've taught us. So we give you the praise and glory for these things, that by these things we will grow spiritually and we will see signs and wonders following your word on your people. So we give you the praise for these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about the flow. Our foundation scripture, which we'll read right now, is from the book of John, chapter 7. Book of John, chapter 7, and I'm going to read this. You might have it memorized by now. And Book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. We'll just actually read verse 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen? So, Jesus makes a promise to his disciples that whoever believes on him, like scripture says, not like your imagination says, not like the Book of Mormon says, not like the Quran says, but he who believes on me as the scriptures, and in this case, he's talking about our Bible. He who believes on me as the scriptures have said. In other words, not he who believes on Jesus as a prophet, not who believes in Jesus as a great teacher, not he who believes in Jesus as all these other things, but he who believes that he was the Son of God, as the scripture has said, that he believes that this Son of God died for us, for our sins, as the scripture has said, is that he is not only dead, but he has risen again and is alive right now. He who believes on him, as the scripture has said, that person out of him shall out of his heart flow rivers of living water. Not just streams, not creeks, not tiny tributaries. Rivers of living water shall flow out of the heart of him who believes on Jesus as the scripture has said. Now, Tammy said it earlier, we said before, if all of us bring a little creek together, the water that's flowing out of us, all of us bring that little creek together, we can cause a flood. Amen? But he's not talking about a group of people here. He says he, not they, he who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, it's okay to have a corporate anointing, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about any person who believes on him having such an anointing, it is like a river pouring out of him. Like a full out river pouring out of his heart. Rivers bring life. Rivers make change. When all of the American pioneers were coming across the United States, they ran across something. They're going from the East Coast, coming across to the West Coast, and they discovered something. They discovered a body of water that was rich, that was great. It was a wonderful body of water. And so they began building cities all up and down this body of water called the Mississippi River. Everybody knows about the mighty Mississippi, right? What they didn't know was, you might have built your house next to the Mississippi, but you have no control over the Mississippi. And when the Mississippi does what the Mississippi is designed to do, it will not only flow the direction that's convenient for you, It will flow where it's designed to flow. In other words, it will take ground that you don't give to it. You agree with the county that this is my property. The Mississippi says, no, this is my property. And so they said, it's a flood. We got to control the Mississippi. And they've been trying for hundreds of years to control the Mississippi, and they can't control it. You know why? It's a river. When a river has its connection to its source, you can't stop it. So human beings figured out, cut off the source. Then we can control the river. So they started building dams. And so they build dams to keep water back so that they can control the flow of the river. And so all across the world, there are dams built to control the flow of water from those who want to control a river. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you may not know this, but there's somebody who sneaks around and builds dams in front of your river. When you're minding your own business, somebody comes and builds a dam on your river. And he usually don't build it close to you. He builds it upstream a little bit so you don't know what's going on. Now, God has designed an example. And I was watching the Nature Channel one day, and I saw nature's little dam builder, the beaver. Yes. And he's minding his own business. He's doing what he does, and he builds these things. And he is controlling the river. Because he didn't lay the log across, he started swimming underground and laying groundwork underwater. And nobody saw him building it until all of a sudden it popped out of the water, but then the water's already slowed down. See, there are things that sneak into our lives, and that's what they are designed to do. They are designed to cut off the flow. And while you're praying and while you're worshiping, while you're doing all the things that you should do to start the flow of the river, in the meantime, there's something sneaking in and blocking the flow of your river. Lord, I love you. I'm doing everything right. Lord, I praise you. I give you glory. Lord, I love you. Why am I not seeing the flow? Because something is stopping the water. Amen? Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 30 first, and then we're going to read more of the passage. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given because Jesus had not been glorified. Now, last week we talked about how in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples when they were praying, and he sent them out, and they began becoming fishers of men as a result of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. The flow of the Lord began to operate, and we're going to talk about what happened to them in a second. But I want to stop right here, because in Ephesians chapter 4 and 30, we start to see the dam builder. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit is one of those dam builders. See, the Holy Spirit is the cause of the flow, but when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we start to build dams. It starts to stop the water from flowing. It stops the Holy Spirit from fully being able to operate through us. So, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit is the question. Are you in Ephesians?
Yes.
Let's start at verse 25. These are all dam builders. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The first dam builder is untruth. When we're not speaking the truth, it's a dam builder. Because what happens is, when we don't speak truth to our neighbor, we are now holding ourselves back. We see, whenever we speak things that aren't true, we have to guard ourselves because we have to protect that which we have now created. And so the first thing is not allowing ourselves to be people who don't speak the truth. Because when we are not speaking truth, that beaver just stepped into the water. And even if nobody else sees it, he's building one under the water. He's building it under the surface and is slowing the flow. Verse 26, be angry and don't sin. You got a free pass to be angry. See, there's a lot of Christians who say, I'm not mad. They're telling themselves they're not mad. They're saying they're not mad, but they are mad. So the better thing to say is, I'm mad. However, I refuse to sin because sin has no dominion over me. I can be mad. God gets mad. But to be angry, but don't sin. I'm mad at you, but that doesn't mean I have to call you up and cuss you out. It doesn't mean that. It means I don't like something I just saw, but that doesn't mean I have to have an emotionally driven response to what you did to me, because that means you are puppeteering my life. And I'm sorry, my name is not Pinocchio. I'm not, nobody's not pulling strings on me. No, I'm not a puppet. So what you do does not pull my strings. So I may be mad at what you did, but you are not going to change my course. You don't have the power to change my course. I have a river I'm maintaining here. And so I can't let you start laying wood in my river. Be angry, but don't sin. Amen? Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. When you see the devil, don't give him place. You see a manifestation. One of my cousins sent a video. They posted a video on Facebook, and I looked at the video. And so we were having this little dialogue. And when I watched it, it was about a fight, and there was a bunch of other stuff going on. And as I watched the video, I actually wasn't watching the stuff that was going on. And I usually never watch this stuff, but I was drawn into this one. But as I'm watching, the interaction between the people's not what's getting me. What's getting me is all the people in the background watching the devil, giving place to the devil, seeing something that should not occur and standing back and watching it. We cannot be spectators in the devil's problems and issues and things that he is pouring into the world. We cannot be spectators to that because we are giving place to the devil. When two people are wrestling in a circle and if you watch wrestling, the job is to push the opposition out of the circle. You can win by pinning him down, but ultimately you win by getting him out the circle. We have to push the devil out of our circles. See, God has given us this flow in order to do that. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's giving it to us in order to push the devil out of our circles. Don't give place. Don't give up ground to the devil. If your house is a holy house, don't give ground to the devil. If somebody walked in my house with a bag of weed, I'm just me, this is just my house, and they say, hey, you love me, so I know you're gonna let you smoke in your house. I'm gonna say, I love you, but you're not smoking in my house. Why? Because this is my circle. I get to establish the boundaries of this circle. I get to establish. Now, whatever you want to do is fine for you. But in my circle, I control the boundaries. Why? Because God has given me authority. So if in my course of my authority, I don't allow you to do, now that's an extreme, right? What about other things? What about little things? What about little foxes that are brought into the circle? What do you do with the foxes? Do you tolerate them? Do you put up with them? Now I'm gonna tell you, now again, be angry, don't sin. I'm telling you, you got to have a fight with somebody. I'm saying, be wise, because the enemy wants to invade your circle. He wants to build a dam and shut your anointing down, amen? Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. If our history was that we stole, the Lord said, don't steal anymore. He didn't make a big deal out of it. It's not 10, it ain't 15 passages that follow up saying anything about that. If you stole, stop stealing. That's the end of that one. Now, work with your hands so you can have something to give. Why? Because you don't give what you steal, and the reason you don't is because you didn't work for it. You don't feel it. If you work, you feel it. So when you give with love. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now I like to tell jokes, but I learned how to tell my jokes so that my jokes will edify. When I spent 4 years of high school standing in a circle with guys all looking at each other, finding a way to talk about each other. Every day, every lunch for 4 years, we got in a circle and we talked about each other bad. And then when we ran out of stuff to say about each other, we started talking about each other's mamas. You're gonna take it up another level, okay? That's it, we're going up another level. And that's what we did. We talked about each other. So I reinforced my ability to see stuff and say something negative. But now, what? Edify, build up. Don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but do something for the hearers. Do something that benefits the hearers. Let people, you open your mouth, let people say, boy, something good always comes out of your mouth. It's not corrupt communication, it's something good always pouring out of your mouth. Well, I don't have nothing good to say. That means you need to clear out the river. If there's nothing to say, it means something's in the river. Because even if you back up and you just say what God says, you should have something good to say. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor from God. That means you speak unmerited favor over people. You're speaking life over people. You're speaking blessing over people. You are speaking well of people. But you don't know. I'm mad at them. Good. Be angry, but don't sin. See, it's all connected. You go right back. I can't speak nothing good over them. I'm mad at them. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't have corrupt communication. Let God's communication pour out of your mouth. They say, they used to say, if you don't have nothing to say, or nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. If you don't have nothing good to say, go find a scripture and declare it. Amen. Don't just say nothing, because now you're still letting that anger boil on the inside. No, you need to go get the word and get the word in your mouth and speak the word. So that you can cancel what the enemy's trying to do to build that invisible dam in your spirit. Amen. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So all those things prior to that, from verse 25 all the way through verse 29, are all things that grieve the Spirit. They grieve the Spirit. They are dam builders. They're coming in and they're trying to stop the flow of your life, the water flowing from your life. And we talked about the last 2 weeks, we talked about how God has designed the flow of the Holy Spirit in order to bring life to everything. And when the water is stopped, you can't produce. You can't, the productivity of the blessing of who you are and what you're able to say and how you're able to build people can't flow when these things are in the way. You know, somebody said, well, that's my nature, I can't do it. Praise God, because God, by Jesus Christ, is transforming our nature. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. When you say, that's just who I am, I can't work that way. No, who you are is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And when we think that the life of other things is controlling us, what we are acknowledging is that you are bigger than God. Yeah, think about that one, huh? When you say, what's in me is bigger than God's ability over me, you're saying you and what's in you is bigger than God. It's a spirit of pride that thinks you are bigger than God. It's the same spirit of pride as to why we call Lucifer, the son of the morning, Satan, the devil. When he began to think he was bigger than God, God had to reveal to him he was not. See, our lives are designed by God for God's purpose. Amen? All right, I'm going somewhere this. Stay with me. Verse 31, let all bitterness. What is bitterness? Suppressed anger. Bitterness is when we have been angry about things and we refuse to acknowledge it and we keep pressing it down and pressing it down and pressing it down and pressing it down and pressing it down. And what we don't realize is anger is a seed. And it doesn't, it's a seed that can take no matter what pressure you put on it. And the further you put it down, that just means the deeper it is. And its roots begin to manifest, and that's what we call bitterness. Scripture refers to it as a root of bitterness. And by this, many have become defiled. Because the deeper you push it, the harder it is to get it out. So the Christians have been taught to suppress anger. Because you have to be nice. And I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says to be nice. I've sought the Scriptures. And I have never found, be thou nice. I haven't found it. It says, love, have compassion. It does not say, be nice. But Christians are so busy being nice, they're not really walking in love. Revelation. Ignorance is bliss, but truth sets you free. I don't want to know. Don't tell me nothing. Well, why are you saying don't tell me something? That means you know there is something. But if we won't look at the truth or we won't deal with things, then what we're doing is we're pushing that thing down. It's not, I'm telling you now, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue to grow. God is not the author of confusion. Amen? But when we're suppressing things, we're causing confusion because we know the truth, but we're denying the truth. Verse 32, be kind to one another. Not be nice, be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. The other big issue that is a griever of the Holy Spirit is unforgiveness. When we won't let stuff go, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Go to the book of John, chapter 20. We talked about this last week, but I want to kind of put some light on this here. John chapter 20, and we're going to go to verse, which one will we go to, Holy Spirit? Verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then, and now this is after Jesus has been crucified, risen from the dead, been seen by people. The disciples are in a room, minding their own business, with the doors closed, and Jesus shows up inside the room. And he says these words to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, this is a problem scripture. And the reason it's a problem is because we got to process what we're actually looking here. First, Jesus says, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I send you." Which means he's saying, "I'm commissioning you to do something. I'm going to send you in the same way I've been sent from my Father." Now, Jesus knows that there's a problem. Because when he's sending his disciples out to minister to the Jews, the problem is that the disciples are in the upper room, and the disciples have been hiding is because they blame the people of Jerusalem for the crucifixion of Jesus. See, the beginning of the Passion Week, they come into Jerusalem and all the people are standing on the side of the road, throwing palms and throwing their clothes on the road, singing "Hosanna in the highest" as Jesus is riding into town on a donkey. And all the people are saying, "Jesus, we love you. You've been making all these miracles. Oh, Jesus, you are the greatest." On Monday. On Thursday, they are screaming, "Give us Barabbas the murderer. Crucify Jesus." Well, what could Jesus have possibly done in 3 days that had them worshiping him on Monday and screaming, "Crucify him" on Thursday? That's a question. But Jesus knows, as he's telling his disciples, "I'm sending you back to these people. You will not be able to minister to these people unless you recognize I'm also giving you the responsibility to forgive." So you can be commissioned to do everything. The prophet Jonah, given a message by God, "Go to the Ninevites and tell them what I said. They will repent and I will save them." He said, "I don't like them Ninevites. And you know what? I hear you, Lord, except I'm going this away." "No, Nineveh's that away." "Yeah, I heard you. I'm going this away." And because of his unforgiveness of the Ninevites, "They're evil, Lord. I don't want them repenting. I want you to smite them for what they've done to the Jewish people. I don't want to forgive them. And you're going to make me go minister forgiveness to them? No. Matter of fact, I'm catching a boat. Going the other way." So his refusal to forgive made him say no. Not to people. He said no to God. "I know you, God. I know your mercy. You're going to forgive them and leave them alone. I want to see your wrath come down." Angry and sinning. "Lord, they need to get what they got coming to them." And God, we know the story. God sent a great fish after him. 3 days he spends in the belly of the fish and gets thrown up back at Nineveh. And he did what God told him to do after that. But even after he did it, it says that he was sitting on the ground, still mad. I'm doing what God told me to do, but I'm mad about it. And God had to teach him another lesson sitting there. See, Jesus had to tell his disciples, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now, with my spirit, you got a responsibility. Your responsibility is, whoever you forgive, I'll forgive. Whoever sins you hold on to, I'll hold on to them. When I was in boot camp, when you did something wrong, they wouldn't make you suffer. They would put you and sit you under a tree. And then they would take the rest of the platoon and make the rest of the platoon suffer as a result. And so they'd be down there doing push-ups looking at you. You're responsible for what I'm going through. See, he had the whole point was to give the person who's messing up responsibility for the rest of the platoon. To teach you that you mess up doesn't mess you alone. What you do affects everybody. So you're going to watch other people and you're going to have to deal with their anger towards you, and you need to then personalize that and say, you know what, I am part of the group and I will do for the group. So Jesus uses the same principle with the disciples. If you forgive, then I'll forgive. But I don't want to forgive. Then you're condemning them. See, when we don't forgive, the power that's been given to us by God concerning the Holy Spirit is that power to forgive. That power to say, you know what? I let it go. Why? I know God has got me covered. And I'm not bigger than God. If God is willing to forgive me for my flaws, my faults, my very nature, if God is willing to look at me and see, I'm looking at you and I see it all. I see the stuff you know about yourself and stuff you don't even understand about yourself. I see your highs and I see your lowest low. And I love you. And I forgive you. If you accept this, I'll blot the whole memory of it from my mind. I will blot it out. That's what God does for us through Christ. And then he says, now, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you power. And I'm not going to tell you you have to, but I'm going to let you know, if you hold on to stuff, I'm going to hold on to it. Forgiveness is a power received from the Holy Spirit. Even before they spoke with tongues, they were given the requirement, the challenge to forgive. Clear that dam. Let the flow work. We can clear the unforgiveness out. We can release people. Then we can open up the flood. Now, if Jesus, with all power in his hand, is able to stand in front of me and say, forgive, I have to believe he's got me. I have to believe he understands what I'm going through. Father's Day is one of those days everybody's either happy or mad. Let's be honest about it. Father's Day is not embarrassing. Father's not a neutral day. You happy or you mad? So understanding that, today's also a day that this word is appropriate. Because if you got something in your life that's causing a dam, today's the day to get it out. Go to the book of Isaiah 43. This is our last passage, and then we're going to get ready to close down. Isaiah 43. I remember as we're going there, There came a day where I had to deal with some things face to face concerning my upbringing. And there came a day where I had to make some decisions. I had to make a decision whether my upbringing was going to control my future or whether I was going to walk free. My parents got married on November 3rd, 1962. I was born November 3rd, 1963. My parents' divorce was final November 3rd, 1964. November 3rd is a wonderful day. So, my father moves away. And I, next few years, you're not conscious, you're a baby. Children are resilient, no big deal, right? That's cool. But of course, one day, my father's ready to come back into my life. But am I ready for you to come back? So we have our little, but I'm a child, so you know, you just get the inability to express yourself, then come into your heart, and then because you don't know how to express yourself, it manifests in other areas. And so I don't know how to process what's going on in my life. So my behavior then starts to go down the tubes because I don't know what is wrong with me. I don't know why I would just get quiet and not say nothing for a long, long time. I don't know why when you push a certain button with me, why all I have in my head is rage. I don't know why. I can't put a finger on it. Don't understand it. So what's happening is our hearts is dams are being built by wounds or by things that happen to us, and the dams are blocking our abilities, even when we don't know, because under the water's surface, something is going on. And as it gets built up and you don't know what it is, and you don't know that it's supposed to be any different than that, because it's what you've grown up with, and it feels normal. It feels normal to be mad. It feels normal to be angry. You're supposed to be mad. People who aren't mad are chumps. Mentality. Why? Because that's all I know. And when a group of people come together and that's all they know, that's the culture that starts to be created. So a culture of anger starts to be built in a group of people. And so in the United States, when there began to be an economic problem in the South, a group of people got angry and they banded together and they manifested anger. Who knows why? Because they all had a common problem. And so they came together and they began to act out on the problem. Same thing happens on Father's Day. People who have grown up with bad experiences with their fathers, we all say, forget Father's Day, let's go do something else. Or we won't make those phone calls we need to make. Or we won't contact those people we need to contact. Or we just remember bad things and we go drown the bad things in whatever thing that we choose to drown it in. But it's a dam. And it's there to destroy you. It's there to block your flow. It's there to block what you have, what God desires to bring out of you. But God has an answer. Amen? Isaiah 43, let's look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So when God is talking to Isaiah, he's bringing this prophetic word, and in Isaiah chapter 43, he's talking about restoring the nation of Israel. They have been in bondage. They've been taken away as slaves. They've had all kinds of bad things happen to them. And now God is starting to speak prophetically concerning where their lives are going. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. I'm making ways in the sea. If you've ever been deep sea fishing or been out on the water pass where you can't see the shore, when somebody says, I'm making a road or a way in the water, boy, I'll tell you what, you better know that's some kind of way. When you can't see the shore and you can't measure where you are, when you're off so deep into something that you can't figure out how to get out of here, he said, I'm the God who shows up in the ocean, out in the sea. I show up and make a path for you. You can't see how to get your way out of what you're in right now. Ain't no shore in sight for me. But God is making a path in the water. He's causing me to go in a direction that I can't even figure out where I'm going. I just got to stay on the ride. I got to go for it. Let God lead me and guide me to the place where he's taking me. Amen? A path through the mighty waters. Waters are pushing against you. But he said, I got a path. I'll cut right through that. Sailboats operate totally by the wind blowing. But when you become very skillful at a sailboat, the wind can be blowing right at you and you can cut right through the wind with the right technique. God said, I got the technique for you. I know how to cut through the mighty waters. That doesn't stop me. Next verse. Who brings forth the chariot? I'm sorry, go back. I was in. Who brings forth the chariot and horse? The army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. He said, an army come against you, a great army, I'll lay them down. A great army coming out against you, I will lay them down. The horse and the chariot, down. I'll lay them down on your behalf. They shall lie down and they not getting up. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. A candle got a wick on the top of it. Psst, out. God said, I'm the king. I'm the God. I do this kind of stuff. Now let's look at the next verse. Do not remember the former things. See, the reason I can be a person of forgiveness is because I know who my God is. I know my God can navigate me through deep waters. I know my God will lay chariots down on my behalf. I know God will take care of me. He will do the things that I need done so I can forgive. Because I'm not remembering the old stuff. So you can't allow what happened 25 years ago, 5 days ago, 10 minutes ago. You can't let it stop you from moving into the next thing of what you got to do. You can't let that stop the flow of the Lord in your life right now. Something that happened a long time ago. Forget that stuff. God is the king. He's the one who can do all things. And so he says, I'm telling you, forgive. But you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. God says, I know you. I know who you are. I know all about you. I know what you've been through. I know the mountain you've been on top of. And I know the valley you've been down in. I know all about you. And knowing all about you, I'm telling you, forgive. Don't even call to mind. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't even consider that old stuff. But you don't know what I used to be. Forget that. Don't even consider what you used to be. But you don't know. I've been in prison. Don't forget. Remember the old things. Put that away. But you don't understand. I did this. Put it away. Don't remember the old things. Nor consider the things of old. Next verse. Behold, I will do a new thing. See, the reason you can forgive is because you got to know God said, I'm doing new things. You got old stuff. Who cares about your old stuff? I've forgiven your old stuff. I'm blotting your old stuff out. I'm taking care of all that. People want to keep bringing the old stuff up. But you know what? There's a new thing going on. Amen? God's got a new thing he's working out. He's a new thing. You know what? So I don't have to be mad at you about 5 days ago because it's a new thing today. I don't have to be mad about you about what you did to me before because it's a new thing today. Today is a new thing, a brand new thing. What was yesterday is yesterday. Today is new. Today is fresh. I refuse. Now I want you to say this.
I refuse
to let what happened yesterday,
mess up today.
Somebody having a bad day because something happened yesterday. Yesterday's over. Yesterday's gone. And God says, I'm blotting that out. Then guess what? If God blotted it out, don't let those people bring it to you. I knew you when you used to. Yeah, you did knew me when I used to be. But you don't know me no more. Because I'm not what I was. I'm a new creation. I'm a new thing. You might have knew me when I was new and still making a mistake. I still ain't that old guy. I'm newer than that. His mercies are fresh every morning. Amen. Every morning is fresh. Every day. I will do a new thing. Say now. Now it shall spring forth. It ain't springing forth 2 weeks from now. It's springing forth right now. You're a new creation right now. Right now you're new. But I wasn't very smart in school. You're a new creation. I don't care what you used to be. I didn't do well in school. You're a new creation. But I don't understand this. You didn't understand yesterday. You're a new creation. You got the mind of Christ. You got new things available to you. You got new things available to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall you not know it? God said, I'm telling you. But the question is, do you know that it's a new thing? So you got to settle it in your own heart. This is a new thing. Do you? You shall know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness. And what? I will make rivers in the desert. Amen. Desert places. God said, I'll make a river flow in. Okay, yes, thank you. Let's go to the next verse. See, that seemed like that's enough, huh? No, let's get the rest of it. The beast of the field will honor me. He said he's going to make a river in the desert. Now we know prophetically, what does that mean? Rivers of living water flowing out of us. And he's going to make the wild beast of the field honor him. See, the person who ministered to me and led me to the Lord was a river of water flowing out of them. And I was a wild beast. Because the day that they ministered salvation to me, I was angry I was the second angriest I've ever been in my life. I was at the top of the pole. All that was in me that night was finding somewhere to express my anger. But an hour later, the beast was honoring God. Why? Because there was a river flowing through there. It was so deep I couldn't get out of it. The Spirit of the Lord moved and I could not get out of it. And I've been stuck in it for 30 years. Why? Because when we get to the point where we can let stuff go and we get stuff out of our hearts and we get to where the motivation to not tell the truth and the motivation to be angry about something, flashback, when all that stuff starts to get out of us, it goes from the river being on the ground to the river coming up. It gets to the waist and it goes overflowing. Because the Spirit is overtaking us. Because I give waters in the wilderness. God said, I give waters. And God said, I like to bring the water to the wilderness.
rivers in the desert. I do that to give drink to my people. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. He said, I'm trying to give drink to my people. I want to give my people drink. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. The flow of the Spirit is something that we want to eliminate. Anything that's blocking it. Anything that's blocking it. So you need to be able to see that God is going to use you in a tremendous way to bring life to whatever that wilderness is. And you need to know it's not somebody else. It's you God's going to use. And you don't have to make it work. You just have to let it flow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone in this room today. I thank you that as we see that wilderness right now, that you minister to every heart in this room, you speak to every heart, declare to everyone to release everything that would stop them from walking in the flow. If they need to forgive anyone, Lord, I thank you for revealing who it is. I thank you for giving them the power to think not about the old things, Lord, but to say, praise the Lord, you're doing a new thing. We thank you for the spirit of forgiveness, that you've given us that responsibility, Holy Spirit, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, to forgive the sins of others so that they might be forgiven by you. We thank you that we retain no sin whatsoever. We release everyone. We thank you for a clear conscience. We thank you that we don't want to forget wrong. We want to forgive wrong. Thank you for allowing us to remember it, but not be dominated by it. Thank you for giving us the freedom to be angry, but to not be drawn into sin. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you. You're not coming back for a nice church. You're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So we thank you, Lord God, for giving us wisdom. We thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now to minister to our hearts. Any broken heart because of offense or wound in this place, I thank you, Lord, for sending the joy, the oil of joy and gladness to cover over right now. That by your Holy Spirit that you wash the wound, cleanse it, and bring healing from our forgiveness. So right now, as we release every person and we release the flow of water in us, we release the flow of the Holy Spirit in us, we thank you that you are transforming our world because of the word of God. We just praise you and give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen.